In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sede sapientiae. During these days, we want to examine ourselves, want to ask the Spirit of the Lord, through the intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, to tell us what we truly are. And first of all, we need to understand we were made by God, and it's good for us to reflect on this topic, that we are creature of God. And therefore, as a creature, you need to pound on this truth. You belong entirely to Him. You are His property. And you belong to Him twice. First, by creation, since you were created by God. But then also, by redemption, you are brought back from the devil by Christ. So you belong to Christ, belong to God under two titles. One of creation, the other by redemption. All belongs to Him, with all that we do, our thoughts, works, and words. And He warns, therefore, that we devote ourselves entirely, totally, without any reserve, to His service and seek His will in all things. And you or we belong by right to God. He can ask you whatever He wants. You are His. You are, we will not say a servant, for a servant has rights, but we will say clearly that you are a slave. St. Louis Trino de Montfort uses the term of a slave. For we are slave of God. And we should consider very well the truth of this so that you acknowledge that God has greater rights over you than even, let's say, a master in former times had over his slaves. Yet you may object that our Lord Himself says, I will not call you now servants, but I will call you friends. And this is true indeed, but we are not to forget that our true position is evident from His words. When you have done all these things that are commanded, say that you are unprofitable servants. And this is true, we are unprofitable servants. And if we look into ourselves, as you perhaps did this morning, and continually do so, we might see only corruption. And we should really meditate about that theme, our own moral spiritual corruption. And this is the topic of this morning, our corruption. The Apostle says in his epistle to the Romans in chapter 7, verses 14 to 25 following. For if we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I walk I understand not, for I do not that good work which I will, but the evil which I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I will not, I consent to the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that there dwelleth not in me, that is to say, in my flesh, that which is good. For to will is present with me, but to accomplish that which is good I find not. For the good which I will, I do not, but the evil which I will not, that I do. Now if I do that which I will not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, then when I have a will to do good, evil is present with me. For I am delighted with the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, fighting against the law of my mind, and captivating me in the law of sin that is in my members. Unhappy man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death. The grace of God by Jesus Christ our Lord, therefore, I myself with the mind serve the law of God, with the flesh I serve the law of sin. And St. Louis Skinner de Montfort says, in the true devotion, God Blessed Lady, number 7, 8, and 79 following. He says, our best actions are ordinarily strained and corrupted by our corrupt nature. When we put clean, clear water into a vessel which has a foul and evil smell, or wine into a cask, the inside of which has been tainted by another wine which has been in it, the clear water and the good wine are spoiled and readily take on the bad odor. In like manner, when God puts into the vessel of our soul, spoiled by original actual sin, his graces and heavenly dons, or delicious wine of his love, his gifts are ordinarily spoiled and corrupted by the bad leaven and evil which sin has left within us. Our actions, even the most sublime and virtuous, feel the effects of it. It is therefore of great importance in the acquiring of perfection, which it must be remembered, is only acquired by union with Jesus Christ, to rid ourselves of everything that is bad within us. Otherwise our Lord, who is infinitely pure and hates infinitely the least stain upon our souls, will not unite himself to us and will cast us out from his presence. To rid ourselves of self, we must first thoroughly recognize by the light of the Holy Ghost our inward corruption. And that's truly your main focus now during these 7 meditations, this first week, as St. Louis calls it, to recognize, to acknowledge yourself so much as you can, how you really are before God, right? And as St. John Vianney says, it doesn't really matter what man really appears, it really matters what you are before God. That really matters, nothing else. So by the light of the Holy Ghost, our inward corruption to acknowledge, our incapacity for every good thing useful for salvation, our weakness in all things, our inconstancy at all times, our unworthiness of every grace, and our iniquity in every position. The sin of our first father has spoiled us all, soured us, puffed us up, and corrupted us, as the leaven sours, puffs up, and corrupts the dough into which it is put. The actual sins which we have committed, whether mortal or venial, pardoned though they may be, have nevertheless increased our concupiscence, our weakness, our inconstancy, and our corruption, and have left evil remains in our soul. Our bodies are so corrupted that they are called by the Holy Ghost bodies of sin, according to Romans, conceived in sin, nourished in sin, and capable of all sin. Bodies subject to thousands of maladies which go on corrupting from day to day, and which engender nothing but disease, famine, and corruption. Our soul, united to our body, has become so carnal that it is called flesh, all flesh having corrupted its way. We have nothing for our portion but pride and blindness of spirit, hardness of heart, weakness and inconstancy of soul, concupiscence, revolted passions, and sicknesses in the body. We are naturally prouder than peacocks, more groveling than toads, more vile than unclean animals, more envious than serpents, more gluttonous than hawks, more furious than tigers, lazier than tortoises, weaker than reeds, and more capricious than weathercocks. We have within ourselves nothing but nothingness and sin, and we deserve nothing but the anger of God and everlasting hell, the saint says. And this is again, it's not to torture ourselves about our true state, it's truly to understand who we are, despite any illusions which we might have about ourselves. And again, this serves as a foundation to empty ourselves totally out of ourselves, so that Our Lady can take us, right, transform her, transform you in her. In other words, this acknowledgement of self, this emptying out of self, this renouncing of yourself, causes by the help of Our Lady that your heart, your soul will be like liquid, which she will be able to pour into a form, namely the form of her Immaculate Heart. The important thing is, right, that you are very generous with this devotion, that you don't take anything back or start to count, if I do this devotion, I cannot do this, I cannot do that. That would be wrong. You need to be extremely generous. If Our Lady should work in your soul, on your soul, if Our Lady should take you, your heart, your soul, and implant it into her own heart, right? And then will happen what St. Louis Quino de Montfort says, Our Lady will present you and your works and your gifts on a golden plate to God, Divine Majesty, and He will not look at that gift, that apple. St. Louis Quino de Montfort compares it to an apple, which is what is an apple to a king, but he looks at the person presenting this apple, which has stains maybe it's already corrupting and so forth. He does not look at that imperfection of the apple, he looks at the person who presents that gift, that apple, to the divine majesty. And the apple, even has stains and imperfection, is very, very, very pleasing to the divine majesty. We conclude with the Imitation of Christ, Book 3, Chapter 20. I will confess against myself my injustice, I will confess to thee, O Lord, my infirmity. It is oftentimes a small thing which casts me down and troubles me. And that is certainly true. Many times there are small things which troubles us. I make a resolution to behave myself valiantly, but when a small temptation comes, I am brought into great straits. It is sometimes a very trifling thing from which proceeds a grievous temptation. And when I think myself somewhat safe, I find myself sometimes, when I least apprehend it, almost overcome with a small blast. Behold then, O Lord, my objection and frailty, every way known to thee. Have pity on me, and draw me out of the mire, that I stick not fast therein, that I may not be utterly cast down forever. This it is which often drives me back and confounds me in thy sight, to find that I am so subject to fall and have so little strength to resist my passions. Although I do not altogether consent, yet their souls are troublesome and grievous to me, and it is exceedingly irksome to live thus always in a conflict. Hence my infirmity is made known to me, because wicked thoughts do always much more easily rush in upon me than depart. O that thou, the most mighty God of Israel, the zealous love of faithful souls, wouldst behold the labor and sorrow of thy servant, and stand by me in all my undertakings. Strengthen me with heavenly fortitude, lest the old man, the miserable flesh, not fully subject to the Spirit, prevail and get the upper hand, against which we must fight as long as we breathe in this most wretched life. Alas, what kind of life is this, where afflictions and miseries are never wanting, where all things are full of snares and enemies? For when one tribulation or temptation is gone, another cometh, yea, and whilst the first still last, many others come on, and these unexpected. How can a life be loved that has such great bitterness, that is subject to so many calamities and miseries? How can it be called life, since it begets so many deaths and bloods? And yet it is loved, and many seek their delight in it. Many blame the world that it is deceitful in vain, yet they are not willing to quit it, because the concupiscence of the flesh overmuch prevails. But there are some things that draw them to love the world, others to despise it. The concupiscence of the flesh, the concupiscence of the eyes, and the pride of life. St. John says, throw the love of the world, but the pains and miseries which justly follow these things breed a hatred and loathing of the world. But alas, the pleasure of sin prevails over the worldly soul, and under these prayers, the imaginers, there are delights, because she has neither seen nor tasted the sweetness of God, nor the internal pleasures of virtue. But they that perfectly despise the world and study to live to God, under holy discipline, experience divine sweetness that is promised to those who forsake all, and such clearly see how grievously the world is mistaken, and how in many ways it is imposed upon. Amen. In the Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.
Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus.
Santa Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae.
Amen. Spiritus Sancti. Amen.